You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids,
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilp.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
And Chris Ellis.
Wait a sec, what? What was that?
Hey, guys.
Hey!
Wrong Chris.
New one.
Well, it depends. I mean, we're not going to say wrong Chris. Alternative Chris. This might actually be better Chris, but we won't tell the other Chris that.
Earth 2 Chris.
Earth 2 Chris. Yes, today, Chris Ellis is with us today. Today, I'm going to say today a fourth time.
Sure.
And Friday,
sure
Hey Kids Comics. We're talking about comics on a Friday, I think. I don't know about you guys. I got nothing.
You
prepared.
Got nothing?
Nothing. Like, I'm like, quick, pull up Bleeding Cool. Talk about something.
Wait, I call that pulling a Dan.
Pulling a Dan.
Yeah, because normally I don't read any comics. And so while you guys are talking about comics, I'll be like, okay, what's in the news today?
There you go. But I did see Chris, you and other Chris, Bizarro Chris, we're starting a conversation there on the texting about some dubious Marvel article.
I saw this article and they were talking about how Disney might shut down Marvel Comics.
Now, we've talked about this before, and we were talking about this in the kitchen. Like, anybody that's got a bit of a history, and like I said, Chris and I were talking about it, anybody who knows anything about Disney knows that that's kind of their bread and butter is licensing.
Oh, yeah.
They like to license stuff. They're very happy with someone else producing their stuff. Now, this happened in the video game industry. You know, games were getting pretty popular with the kids and stuff like this, like computer games and interactive adventure games. Disney's like, well, we need something. So they bought a studio.
Yeah.
And after a couple of years, they just turned around and they folded up that studio and they just started licensing it to other people. So we've been saying this for a couple of years, ever since Disney bought Marvel, that there's a good possibility that they'll just fold up Marvel Publishing and license the characters out to other comic book companies.
Yeah. Now, the video game thing, that was kind of interesting because it was actually making money.
Yeah.
But it wasn't making Disney money.
Exactly what we said. Yeah, like Disney's like, I want to know how much you're making me every quarter more than you made me the quarter before.
Yeah, and stagnant, you're gone.
Yeah, like I don't care if you're making $1 million of profit every quarter.
Yeah.
I want you to make $2 million this quarter because you made $1 million next. And I want you to make $3 million next. And I want you to make $4 million next. They're not happy with...
No, and if you get stagnant, you get bumped.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, print comics... I love them. It's my favorite. I'm not a digital guy. But they're hurting. And I don't know if it's because it's superheroes. Like, whether there's a side shift. I mean, most of the creator-owned stuff that I read is not superhero. So I think that there's maybe a trend to move away from the superhero, but Marvel and DC haven't caught on yet.
Well, yeah, I mean... We're constantly talking about going into chapters.
Yeah.
And Dan's kids here are reading the same books my kids are. You know, like, I can't remember what it was. It's not Babysitter Club. It's Nathan. Some kind of a Nathan series. 400,000 copies were sold last year of this one kid's graphic novel. Like, that used to be Spider-Man numbers. That's not Spider-Man numbers anymore.
Yeah.
So... They're like, oh, we got to get kids reading comics. Kids are reading comics. They're just not reading these comics. They're just not reading 24 pages for $3.99.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's like that they can't relate to the comics because they get used to the cartoons, right? So, like, if you watch Teen Titans Go or, you know, the Teen Titans cartoons, you know, John Stewart is the Green Lantern. And when they pick up a book, it's Hal Jordan. And they're like, who is that guy?
You know, for an entire generation of kids that were watching the Justice League cartoons, John Stewart is Green Lantern.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't know who Hal Jordan is. Like, who did his voice? The guy from Mad TV. No. I want to say LeVar Burton, but that's the Star Trek guy.
Yeah, he's definitely.
Anyways.
You're talking about John Stewart?
Yeah. The fellow who's been doing his voice. He used to be on Mad TV. He's a comedian on Mad TV. And he's been doing John Stewart's voice for ever in a day. I mean, you talk about Kevin Conroy doing Batman's voice for a long time. This guy's been doing John Stewart for a long time. A lot of episodes. A lot of hours of animation. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole whack of people out there. It's like, who? You know, like Hal Jordan who? Guy Gardner what?
You were close. It's Phil Lamar.
Phil Lamar. There
Phil
you go.
Phil Lamar, yeah.
Please forgive me, Phil. I think you're awesome. But
iconic voice actor, Phil Lamar.
And so you're not wrong, but DC's trying. Didn't they just throw out the trailer for that new Mira comic that's coming out with one of their, what is it, DC Spot or DC Inc.? One of the two? They came out with two new imprints, DC Spot and DC Inc. One is for young adults and one is for even younger readers.
Okay.
And it's a graphic novel about Mira from Aquaman. And it's specifically designed in that format, in that kind of scholastic graphic novel size, as opposed to comic book size, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, you know, pushed out into those channels.
Interesting.
Like, Dan DiDio, there's the big Comics Pro Retailer Summit. Did we talk a little bit about that last radio show?
Just about the implosion.
Yeah, that he's cutting titles and stuff. But he was saying
87 titles.
Like, everybody kind of freaked out about that. But then he was talking. That's a good article, too. Anyways, sorry, I got ADD, 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 HDD, DD, ODD, CC distracted.
Ooh, shiny.
Squirrel.
There's no squirreling here.
He was saying, like, they're like, oh, we're going to cut the line by so much, and so they're going to hack so many books and stuff. And then Dan DiDio the next day is like, yeah, you know that article? We already did it. We already cut the titles that weren't selling. We've already, like, those reductions have already happened. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they cut, what did they cancel? They canceled the whole whack of books. Green Arrow's gone. That last issue of that came out. They're stopping all the Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Yeah.
Right? But that, I mean, is that because of poor sales or is that a licensing
thing? Again, yeah, like the licensing thing we had talked about.
Yeah, we talked about that. And then he said, you know, we got to start pushing this stuff into outside channels out of Diamond. Diamond is a dead-end distribution channel appealing to a certain subset of people that's a guaranteed sale. So stop selling to them. Start catering to others, you know? Don't dismiss them. Don't forget about them. But let's start getting stuff into bookstores and let's get stuff into Walmarts and Targets and stuff like this.
Like what they're doing in the States with like those
100-page... those 100-page giants that they have at the Walmarts are going to be now distributed into comic shops as well. So they won't be Target exclusive.
Okay.
So they're going to be pushing a lot of that stuff. And the other thing he said was, let's not flood the market with trade paperbacks. And if we do put a trade paperback out, let's put a little bit of original material in it so there's a reason to buy it. It's like Blu-rays, right? Yeah. You got the commentary track. You got the making of. You got the little mini documentaries and stuff.
Who watches that garbage?
What? I always watch the commentary tracks.
Even I used to buy the special editions of every DVD that came out. Yeah. And then one time I was like, you know what? I have never watched anything on like the second disc.
Really? I always do.
The only thing like I used to watch, I'm going to say this is weird, but I'm going to say before I realized that being poor and having stuff is better than having money but nothing, like when my want exceeded my desire for financial stability. Like I would buy, you know, like a Doctor Who DVD. When I started getting into Doctor Who, I'd buy like one story from the first Doctor and I'd watch it, and I'd watch every extra on there because it's all I had. I would just watch through the entire thing, the commentary, making of, like the actor that played an extra in scene four talking about his time on set. I'm like, I want to know. But now that I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to blast through 50 years of classic Doctor Who, and so I don't have time to watch that stuff anymore.
No, man, I even to this day, I'll hit that extra features and I'll check out stuff. And no, I watch it all the time. All the time. Like every single Kevin Smith movie, I watch the, I listen to the commentary track.
But buying the like graphic novels, to me, unless you don't own the book already, it's kind of like owning the DVD and buying the Blu-ray, just because.
But I completely agree. But I'm also that guy, because you know, like I collect Paper Girls every month, but I have not read a single issue in comic format. Only the trades. I just buy the trades and read them. But I keep buying the issues because I'm like, I like this comic. I might as well help them out actually with the both. So, you know, like I do, I understand the mentality, and it's like the same with sort of how, you know, Marty, you would buy Chapter House, Captain Canuck comics digitally and physically, man. Because like maybe you want to read them physically, maybe you want to read them digitally.
That's,
you know?
That's another story.
Sometimes you're just in the bathroom with your tablet and you need to read a comic. And you don't got any comics. Yeah. So you just download something from Comixology.
There you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like we're also of the mentality that if the single copies don't succeed, there won't be a trade paperback. So, you know, I'll buy, like you said, single issues, and then all of a sudden it's like, do I pull these all out of my long box to reread them, to rip the tape off and do all that stuff? Or do I just grab the trade paperback that's on discount sale somewhere and read it? You know, like I got Watchmen 1 through 12, and yet every year I pull out my battered old beat up trade paperback copy and I reread the trade paperback. I don't reread the original issues.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, but I mean, that's a classic book, right?
But that's also like, you know, I have some Silver Age Green Lantern comics. I don't read them because I'm buying those to collect because I want to have a run. I own the like reprints to read, you know. Yeah. I'm not taking Green Lantern 10 into the bathroom. That's for sure. Yeah. You know, but
I'm not saying anything because I just read my like 1970s Batman in the bathroom.
But that was an emergency.
I don't know about emergency.
You said it was the only thing you had.
It was the only thing I had, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't have read it in there anyway.
All right. This is the potty episode.
This is the potty episode.
But I don't mind buying a reprint, like for that purpose. I mean, I've got a couple of different reprints of Hulk 180 and 181, just because I don't want to like wreck those copies that I have.
And I mean, you got to have an extra copy around in case Sam's over.
Oh my goodness.
Anything to do with Wolverine.
Oh my God.
That's a callback.
That's a big callback. but yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, the way things are going right now is not sustainable. There's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so if the superhero books, like the other thing, let's not be, yeah, that's the article I'm trying to find here. That's the other thing about Disney, right? They made enough movie from, I can't remember whether it was the Captain America movie or the first Avengers movie, one of the two. They made enough money to pay for the entire purchase of Marvel from one flick.
Yeah.
So what is their motivation to continue making comics? Now, there's some, you know, I don't want to call them troglodytes or whatever, but they pretty much are. There's a lot of dumb people on the Facebooks and stuff. They're the ones that are like you were saying, you know, oh, Marvel's making a profit. They won't get rid of a division that doesn't make a profit.
Yeah,
they do. This company does. It's demonstrated.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh, well, where are they going to get the stories to make movies?
They don't need them.
They got 75 years of history.
Well, even if they license it out to IDW or Boom or whoever they license it out to, they're going to give them character restraints. You can't do this to this character.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, if they make movies in that line, then it's always going to be reasonably palatable, I guess. But they're not going to be like, hey, today Spider-Man's going to, I don't know, become a mole person and live underground.
But just take a look at what we were talking about last week. Unfortunately, you weren't here. You didn't hear it. But or maybe you listened to the episode because you're a devoted reader.
He's never listened to the episodes.
He's devoted reader. One of those guys that phones me up on a Monday going, why isn't it online yet? Because I was busy. Now I've distracted myself. I don't
know what Squirrel. Talking
about. Squirrel. No, it's gone.
Okay, so I'll jump in and say Marvel, Disney licensing out Marvel could save superhero comics. Well, because all Marvel does is tell the same stories over and over again. They don't take any risks. They're destroying the business by doing an entire previews catalog that's full of just War of what Realms comics.
Well, that there's that too, but I mean, when you're talking about not taking risks, isn't Marvel the one that is like, oh, we're going to completely change the Hulk's origin?
That's not a risk.
Isn't it?
No, that feels like just a tried and true thing that they've already done several times with the Spider-Verse and other characters.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, like, it doesn't feel like a risk to me.
Well, I mean, you know, we know a lot of independent creators, you and I and Chris here, and you just have to start talking to them, and they'll tell you right away, they do not present their best ideas to DC and Marvel. They're holding on to that stuff so that they can go creator-owned and get the big bucks and the movie deals and stuff like this, you know? So there's not a lot of new, really, like, it's instead of being creator-driven, it's editorially, you know, they're the ones that are driving the storylines in these big, huge summits. So what do you think of when you do a big, huge summit? Well, let's do an event book, and we're going to do DC Ceased, and we're going to do War of the Ultra Realms with the, you know, like. I don't.
Maybe they just have to, like, the editorial for both companies. Maybe they just have to, like, rethink their strategy for creator-owned and just be like, give them a slice of the pie that's better than like the minuscule amount that they're getting, so that they want to bring fresh creative ideas that will actually revitalize books. Like, what's the last new character you've seen in a book that actually changed something?
I to be honest with you, I think that those days are long gone once the big corporations bought out Marvel and DC.
Sonny, back in my day, I remember when there was fresh characters in comic books.
Like, seriously, like, once, you know, Warner Brothers, it was always a little bit of part of Warner's for quite a while, but it was always kind of left on its own, like the idiot child in the room to go do whatever it wants. But all of a sudden, it's like, no. Now you're messing with the big boys. You're messing with our TV properties. You're messing with our movie properties. And we don't want you to do this to Green Arrow, because we're planning on doing this to Green Arrow in the cartoon. In the TV show, you know, and so all of a sudden it's like, let's not do anything really weird and crazy and strange.
But on the other hand, that doesn't prevent people from bringing new characters of their own design in. Well, like, DC tried, but it's pathetic. Like, the things they've brought in are just, they feel so stupid.
Well, that new age of DC, that whole thing was driven by Dan DiDio. It was his initiative. It wasn't a bunch of creators sitting at a coffee shop going, hey, you know what? I got this great idea for a story. Let's go bang it out and present it to an editor and get it done.
And you know what the new age of DC heroes was? Creators' fourth string ideas still. Because that when you look at them, that's all you can see is like, oh, I this was created on the toilet. Just to bring it back to where we were.
Like, how exactly do we knock off a Marvel character? I mean, that's all it was.
Yeah.
Now, like, I mean, I'm not going to say it's easy. It's pretty hard to come up with a good idea for a character or something that's fresh and hasn't been done 100 times. Like, you know, it is hard. Everything has been done.
That's storytelling, right?
Yeah, I don't disagree that, you know, like, at this point, with so many years of history, that eventually the characters are going to sound more and more similar because it's hard to come up with, you know, an alien who's super strong. Okay, so who's the first one that popped into your head, right?
Yeah.
So then you've got, like, Superman. That's the first one. And then it goes, okay, well, who else? And so then you have a long list of characters, like, that are all...
Instead of creating a character, instead of going, like, okay, what would I like this character to have? You go, what has already been done that I can't do? And then you're like, okay, so he can make origami out of toast. He's Toast Man.
Toast Man.
Copyright pending.
Powdered Toast Man from Ren and Stimpy. So you've already lost it there.
So no! Character.
It's true.
It's like a rom-com. If I was a rich, successful guy with an attractive wife living in New York, the very last thing I'm going to do is let her go back to her high school reunion. Because we know what's going to happen.
Yep.
She's going to meet the janitor that she had a crush on in high school, and at Bob's your uncle, I'm out. I'm done. So it's the same thing. Like, you know. These stories have all been told.
Yeah. And so, like, coming back, you kind of touched on the events. I think there's a time and a place for the events. I kind of liked when the events hit on the annuals.
That was awesome.
And it didn't affect every single issue over an entire year to tell one story. I mean, can you imagine? Like, you own a comic shop and you're like, okay, I got to commit to these multi-serieses and nobody's pre-ordered them. I'm just going to put them out on the shelf and see if it hits.
Well, that's what this Brian Hibbs was talking about at the Comics Pro. He's a big time comic shop owner and pretty smart guy. And he was saying, like, War of the Realms, we need to commit to the very first three issues and 3 months of tie-in books without even finding out that anything's been sold. And then Marvel's like, oh, and by the way, on final cutoff date, if you don't know what final order cutoff date is Diamond has, you can order books from them. And then they have a date that from that date, if you order the book after that date, there's no guarantee you're going to get it. And publishers usually adjust their print runs based on that final order cutoff number. Well, Marvel made a whole whack of changes on FOC about War of the Realms. So they're like looking at their order forms going, where did this variant come from? Where did this whole series come from? Where did this come from? Like, I can't even vet this with my customers to find out whether there's any interest in it, because I got 12 hours to order this darn thing. And some of my customers come in every 2 weeks, every once a week.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know what to do. So I'm reading it, and this guy was saying that right now he's not even ordering 25% of what Marvel's offering as is, because there's no customers asking for that stuff.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then so all that does is Marvel's like, look how far our sales went down because of this series. Nobody bought into it, so nobody likes the Punisher anymore. So let's kill the Punisher, and then we'll wait 2 years, and then we'll bring him back and slap him on every single cover out there, just like they've done with Wolverine.
You're very wrong. It's 6 months, two years.
Wolverine was like 2 years; he was gone. But now he's on absolutely every single cover. He's in three series and starting his own.
Now I would just like to interject for a moment with some perspective on the ordering and cutoff and stuff, because like, I work at a video game store that sells video games, and recently, over the past 6 months, it's turned out that if we don't have anybody pre-order a game, we will get one copy. Even if it's a game with a recognizable title that's in a series of games that people might want, even if it's a sequel game that has been 7 years in the making, and if we don't have a pre-order for it, even though this is a huge AAA title, like, put out by Xbox themselves, if we don't have pre-orders, we get five copies. And, you know, a lot of games for the Switch will get one copy. Mm-hmm. And we'll sell that one copy. But they won't give us five copies of that game. They won't give us 10 copies of a game, just hoping that they sell. And that's just kind of the world we live in now, right? Like, the companies can't afford to hope something's going to sell.
But that's kind of the opposite of what they make the comic shops do, right?
Yes.
So, like, with the comic shops, they have to order 100 issues to get one variant.
Well, yeah, that's the other whole story where, you know, we're going to let you order X number of copies of Savage Sword of Conan based on how many copies of Champions number 6 you bought. Like, totally unrelated.
Yeah.
So why are you, I mean, it's artificial. I'm gonna punish you to get the book that's going to be hot by making you go get the book that's not and artificially pumping up the numbers. And like Chris Gilpin would say, that means all that stock is just sitting in the store. That's unsold stock. It's sold by Marvel and sold by Diamond, but it's not sold to the end user because they're sitting in the comic shop.
Yeah. And how many people are out there hunting around for that one issue that's, you know, has no distinguishable story? And unless you're running that series, nobody's interested in it.
Okay. And then 2 years later, they have that issue number 6 of Champions was actually the first appearance of Gwen Stacy's niece, who is now the new Deadpool, and it's a hot book. There so
yeah, and so now all of a sudden the guys
all
got
those
a
ones
box.
That are in the dollar bin, yeah, suddenly they're people are fighting over them.
What was the new 52? No, the Countdown book or whatever.
The first Batwoman.
The first Batwoman. Yeah. It was like. You'd go everywhere you'd go. It'd be like, oh, here's the new whatever. What was it? Countdown, right?
Yeah.
Here's Countdown. One through 52. And you'd just be running into this entire series all the time, nonstop, everywhere. Oh, there it is. And then all of a sudden, you know, oh, Batwoman. Now it's like that one issue is missing everywhere.
Wasn't that also the first appearance of like Renee Montoya as the Question in that series, I think? It's also the first appearance of the Great Ten.
I'm not sure about that because I seem to remember Renee Montoya being the Question, or maybe it is that.
Like
long
I think
because
she was in the comics, but I think that was her first appearance as the Question.
Was it in that series?
And it's a great series. I really enjoyed that series.
Yeah.
And I'm mad because I don't have that issue. That's the first appearance of Batwoman because I have it in the trade. So I read it in the trade and never.
I'll have to look because I think I got mad and when I first started selling books at the barn, I stuck out. Like a whole bunch of those.
Quick run to the barn.
I may have them, or I may have just put them all out for sale. I have no idea. Like it could be either or.
I don't know. I had that series, never read it, and was like, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to hang on to it forever, or am I going to move it? So I sold it for like 50 cents a book.
Yeah.
Just to get the series out of there.
And now the one book's probably worth 25 bucks.
Well, that's the thing, right? The secondary market's killer.
Yeah, there's no
and that is literally though the example of what I just said with Gwen Stacy's niece is now, you know, like that's a book that you sold for 50 cents. Oh, it's a book that was absolutely worthless because it has no real value. It's not the first appearance of Batwoman.
Nope,
it's not the first appearance of anything. It's just a new character becomes Batwoman.
Yeah.
Like it's not even the first appearance of the character.
And the only reason why it's popping is because she's going to be in a TV show.
Yeah. So like, the TV shows have actually ruined comics for everybody.
Like how many guys out there spent three figures for a copy of Dark Hawk number one?
Not me.
You know, like, and it was this big, huge thing. He's going to be in the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie or whatever it was. And you got to get this, you got to get that. Right? And it turned out to be Sylvester Stallone. As one of the original Guardians. It wasn't even Nighthawk.
Dark Hawk.
New 52 week 11, first appearance. First Kat Kane as Batwoman.
New 52 week 11.
Yeah. Or sorry, not new 52, just 52.
52.
Countdown was the one that came after.
No.
Countdown to Final Crisis.
Yeah.
52 ran into Countdown.
Yeah, I do not have that in my collection. 17,917 comics, and I do
you
not
don't
have,
have
that
this one.
I'm not really sad I don't have that.
Oh
one
no, wait, that's includes my wish list. Let me go back to in collection. Oh, it's not that bad. 14,831 comics. I have just instantaneously lost six people off my Plenty of Fish after they heard that.
Only six?
If I had six people interest me on Plenty of Fish, I wouldn't be here now, doing a radio show on a Friday.
What are you saying about us?
Yeah,
some of us do have people under here. So
yeah, exactly. Who am I kidding? I'd be here.
Now, the book isn't selling for like ridiculous figures. I mean, ridiculous figures. If Chris sold it for 50 cents, it's currently selling for, and my math will be bad, but like 1,000% what he sold it for. It's selling for about 20 bucks.
Yeah.
But 20 bucks plus 20 bucks shipping for most of these.
Well, it jumped up a little bit higher than 20 bucks here for a little while. Seem to think
most of them do, right? Like the first appearance of Normie Osborn, that was like a 50 cent book at best.
Yeah, like there's a few, there's one that was like 65 bucks.
I mean, we could talk about the original dollar bin book, Deadpool. New Mutants 98.
Oh, yeah,
that book has been that book was sitting like I got big into replenishing my collection in about 2006 ish, 2007 ish. And back then, it was worthless. Yep. You could pick it up left, right, and center for nothing. I mean, you picked up a Hulk 181 for what? Something ridiculous. You don't have to tell, just in case your wife's listening.
It was $45.
There you go, yeah. You bought Hulk 181 for 45 bucks.
Yeah.
Sometime in the last 15, 20 years.
Oh, longer than that. I was in high school, so it was really? Like 25 years ago. But yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, it just seems like there's been jumps, and I noticed a massive jump around 2010, 11, 12-ish, where things just started taking off. And then the movies got big, and things really started getting ridiculous and taking off.
Yeah, like, well, people started seeing comics as an investment, not as a hobby.
Yeah, well.
And I think that's kind of what, you know, is kind of driving down the new stuff, because people want what's hot. They don't want to read the books. They just want to make money on them. So they're kind of just watching to see who the new guy is going to be and stuff. Like, what was it? Thanos number 13, which is the first appearance of the Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
The comic shops, they had them for like $6.
Yeah. Wasn't there like a fight breakout at one?
I don't know, but I missed it at the $6 mark. I was so angry because I was like, oh, if I'd have known, I'd have bought it then. Not because I wanted to resell it, but because, spoiler alert, Frank Castle is the Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Right.
And so for a Punisher fan like myself, I was like, oh man, how did I not know about this for one? And two, how am I going to avoid paying the 50 or 60 bucks people want for this crazy issue?
Wait a year.
Yeah.
That's how you avoid it.
You just watch eBay, and then some guy is going to post one, and that's when you jump on it. But, yeah, it's crazy. Like, again, it was a $6 issue with the, you know, the lenticular cover.
Yeah.
And they had hundreds of them all over the place, and then all of a sudden people are like, hey, first appearance. And then all of a sudden you can't find them anywhere, and it's crazy because then you just I want it for me. I don't want it so that I can turn around and sell 12 copies, you know, on eBay.
Well, that's the crappy part about this is you become a devoted fan of something like that and you really want it. Like there's a couple of books that I really want in my collection that right now are just way too hot and I know I'll have to wait a little while to get it. Like I'm just not going to pay those kind of dollars.
If it has anything to do with a movie or a TV show, it'll come down.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm trying to get the Miss Marvel series. And I'm short two or three, like the original 70s. I've been going on this Bronze Age binge of trying to get some of the Marvel Bronze Age series that I didn't read as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like Power Man and Iron Fist and stuff. Well, Miss Marvel's one of the few that I haven't finished yet because some of those issues are just astronomical.
Yeah, well, I walked around with you at Comic-Con last year where you were looking for one of those two issues.
It's like crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, no, too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
And I'm not sure, like, why it's driven up so much like that. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Like, is it because the guy like me who follows the Punisher who missed that series is like, you know what, I need it? Or is it just because somebody's like, oh my goodness, look how fast this book is popping up?
No, there's some guy sitting there on a whole whack of copies who do not have the history of the industry to know that they're going to be stuck with this a few years later, and they're just holding on to it, and they're going to find out. Like every single person who owns a comic shop has a story of people walking in with a box full of Death of Superman books.
So the other day I was at work and I was talking to a customer about ordering something from eBay because they were looking for like a pop vinyl that we didn't have. And I was like, oh, yeah, I just ordered something from eBay. And he's like, oh, what did you order? I'm like, oh, an old Green Lantern comic. And he's like, that's cool. You know, I've got some comics at home. Maybe I'll check out what they've got. It's time for me to, like, sell them and stuff. Like, they're just taking up space. I'll check out what I've got. I'll let you know if there's anything cool in there. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then he's like, yeah, I remember when I bought The Death of Superman. And I made sure, told my son, he's not allowed to open those ones up. And then I was like, don't bother bringing those comics in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the same thing's going to happen. Like, what do? You just spent $300 on a copy of Dark Hawk number one.
Yep.
What do?
Now you hire a divorce lawyer.
You hold on, you hold on to it, hoping for some possibility that it's going to go up. And like,
I know what you do. You literally start another rumor that he's going to be in a movie, yeah. Or you crowdfund a Dark Hawk movie yourself.
Like, my dad's got a pair of stocks that he got from some mine in the 60s, and he completely refuses to throw them out, even though the mine is, like, bankrupt, gone in the 70s. He's like, I don't know. You never know. Maybe one day they will reopen that mine. I'm like, no, that's not how it works, Pop. You are never getting a penny back from these stocks.
Yeah.
You know?
But I remember seeing the black bag from The Death of Superman on the wall
yeah.
for $200 at the comic shop.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that was like when it was new. And I didn't jump right on it because I'm like, they're going to kill him, but they'll bring him back. And I mean, everybody kind of had that same thing. But, you know, then the hype kind of got in. But I managed to wait until he was fully back before I bought all those issues. And I think I paid like $6 for the black bag.
No, exactly. It's crazy. Like, but then something like Walking Dead hits, you know, like the infamous story of me passing up on buying two copies of Walking Dead number one for $20 and choosing Fables instead.
Give yourself a handshake there.
Darn you, ABC, and your Once Upon a Fairy Tale or whatever the story.
Once Upon a Time.
But, yeah, that's another story. you know, and then that title hits, and it's like $1,200, $2,400.
Yeah.
Back down to $1,200. But it's more than $10.
Yeah.
So every time there's one, like, there's no doubt in my mind that the boom of Walking Dead number one drove the market for Image Comics first issues for a while there.
I would agree.
Like, people were buying crazy amounts of books.
Yeah. Well, I think that's sort of the same thing happened when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out. The black and white market, like, exploded. And most of those, back to the bathroom, you wouldn't even use for toilet paper now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're absolutely worthless books.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, everybody was like, oh, my goodness, that one hit, so something else has got to go, right? And
all of them are useless except for adolescent radioactive teenage hamsters. No, adolescent radioactive hamsters. Is that what it was called?
Adolescent. Like. Yeah, no, not teenage, but it was adolescent.
Yeah. Adolescent radioactive hamsters.
Yeah.
That was the good knockoff. That was the GoBots back then. That was
the GoBots.
You know, the Transformer kids were reading reading Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and us GoBots kids were reading adolescent radioactive.
I can't remember if it was on the show last week or in the kitchen when you, me, and Chris were talking, because you had brought some comics for me from the comic shop, and we were talking about the Ninja Turtles, and you said, "Oh, you're reading the Ninja Turtles," and I said, "I'm collecting the Ninja Turtles." And yeah, like, you know, I don't know why, but like when I got into comics, for some reason, even though like I really love the Ninja Turtles, like the old cartoon, the movies, like I've loved the Ninja Turtles my entire life, but it never occurred to me to collect the Ninja Turtles comic at all until like during my bad slab phase, I saw, you know, like number 8 up for a 9.8 for like $50 or something, and I bought it. And then I was like, oh, why am I not like reading this? So I started collecting, but I have never read it. I've read one issue out of like, I have 50. I've been collecting for like 3 years, have like 50 issues, and I've only read one so far.
That's
one
crazy.
Day I'm going to read them. Gosh darn it.
That's crazy. You're nuts.
I am nuts.
It's not like I have an entire short box of books I have not read.
Oh, I've got a fairly large stack of books. My wife's always like, you got another package in the mail. Oh, good. Something else to add to the pile that I can read later.
Like I got Adventures of the Super Sons. Haven't read a single issue. I got A Walk Through Hell. Haven't read a single issue. The Terrifics I finally dropped. I haven't read a single issue. Like, I'm just like Chris, like Dan here, you know, just collecting them on the off chance that I may or may not read them.
You know what happens when you do read them?
What?
You find out they're garbage.
Well, yeah.
So I read a bunch of comics. I've been collecting Daredevil for a couple of years because, you know, I got into the TV show like everybody else. Yep. And I was like, okay, let's read these. And I read last night I read the entire Death of Daredevil 4-issue arc.
Okay.
And it's garbage.
Did he die?
Complete, absolute garbage. Well, he looks like he dies in the end. First of all, spoilers. He dies at the beginning of the first issue of this arc, and then the entire arc doesn't exist. It's all in his mind.
Oh, no.
And then he just dies on the table at the end of issue 4 of the arc. So literally, you read 4 issues of him just having an adventure in his mind.
Nice. Memories.
And he's dead. And then, you know, I also have issue number 1 of the new Chip Zdarsky Daredevil. So I read like the first 2 pages of that before I gave up on like just reading any more Daredevil at that time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, 4 issues of garbage. And now this, you know, and that one takes place like 3 months later. And he's alive now again. And he's just injured and recovering.
With no explanation. Just magically.
Like, but like they just have it like fade to black. Like he's on the table and they have it fade to black like he's dying. And then they just bring him back. But like it was utterly disappointing.
Yeah.
Absolutely disappointing. There was nothing good about it.
No redeeming value. I
read it, and as I was reading it, like I didn't even enjoy reading it, let alone when it whips around at the end and is like, nope, it was just a dream the entire time. Like
he came out of the shower like Bobby Ewing.
That, I mean,
there's a 1980s reference for you.
I would have been happier with that. I would have been happier with that. And so I also have like so many issues of Daredevil I haven't read. And now am I going to want to read those back issues?
Now it's tainted.
Probably not. You know, it's just, it was utterly disappointing. And, you know, I'm the positive guy in this show. I'm the one that's always like, I like everything. I'm the one that just smiles and is like, no, it was good.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, it was $60 and not worth it, but no, it was okay.
You guys are being harsh.
Like, I just, so disappointed.
But I think that's more the story of what's going on in the comics industry than any of the underlining stuff. The stories are crap.
Oh, like.
And it's so frustrating when you spend, like, $6 an issue almost now for one that comes up at like
the last issue. Yeah, the last issue was like a double sized issue that you didn't need to do that because you knew it was all just like a joke on us as the readers.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I think is really hurting the industry is a 4-issue series where it makes no sense and you're like, what is this disaster that I just read? And or you open the book and you're like, wow, my 4-year-old drew this. This is awesome.
Oh yeah. There's now, so there's some serious Marvel art complaints.
The
going
art on this one is from Phil Noto.
Oh really? Holy.
And, like, he's not the greatest artist, but
what?
Come
on, it's Phil Noto.
Yeah, I was gonna say I like it.
Okay.
Like, I mean, he's not technically, he's not a great artist.
He's got a style.
But like, yeah, his style, I do really enjoy his style.
It's a pretty static style, so yeah.
Phil Noto, you are the only good thing about this book.
There you go.
Like, as a guy who can't draw, like, for me to judge somebody's art sounds harsh. But like, if I can't get into the art, the story better grip me.
Well, yeah.
And if like, the story can't hold me, man, that book is garbage.
Dear Marvel, why did I pay $4.99 US when some of these pages are just black?
Absolutely.
Because he's dying or dead. Marvel, I want my $4.99 back.
I'm going to shift over here a little bit, put all the sharp objects away from Dan.
Before you get hit with Daredevil.
Dan's 5 years of comic book politeness is all coming out at once.
It's done. It's done.
Over.
It's over. Done. I hope that wasn't my fault.
Well, just be glad you went Daredevil, not Spider-Man. I'm just reading the new Marvel previews here. There's 11 issues in May that have Spider-Man in the title. 11.
I think that's kind of the problem. Like, it's oversaturation of certain characters. How many X-Men titles are out there now?
Well,
and Avengers titles.
Like, and exactly. Like, why wouldn't you want the readers of those 11 books reading one concise, well-written Amazing Spider-Man book?
Because you're only getting $4 a month instead of $37.
Well, but are you? You know, like if 400,000 people buy one book versus 400,000 people divide the exact same amount of money over 11, you know?
And then subtract the amount of people who don't buy any because they're sick of the character.
Because that's the other thing that happens, right?
Or they just download them online for free.
They just paid for 11 issues of art, 11 issues of lettering. They didn't pay for 11 issues of writing. True. Because there's not that much writing in these things anymore.
Okay. Four blank pages. Did Charles Soule get paid for those 4 pages of blackness?
I don't know. I'm
going to tweet him and ask him.
There you go. Hey, did you get paid for this shit?
Does your page rate include blank pages that are just blank black? Pages,
they're just black. Hey, he was dying. He was dying. It's dramatic.
His eye could have been open just a little bit, right?
Like, I'm positive that every single publisher will tell you they would rather sell 400,000 copies of one single issue than 1,000 copies of 400 issues.
And so why don't they? And the answer,
I don't know.
The answer is because they can't guarantee it. Like, let's say right now that Marvel does this and they take it to back to one Amazing Spider-Man. They're worried that their fan base is 10,000 guys who are buying Spider-Man, but 4 copies each, like 4 different series. So they've got 40,000 Spider-Man comics sold. But if they take it back, it's just going to be 10,000 instead of 40,000.
It's like this Brian Hibbs guy was talking about. I can't remember. You'd have to scroll the article up there a little bit, but one of the months he counted, and it was 59% of all the books were variant covers.
Yeah.
Like, of all the books that they brought into the store, 59% were variant covers, or 50.9%. I think it was 59. Like, you know, they're just that's even cheaper.
Here's a line that sticks out. I think you posted this on Facebook, maybe, or I saw this somewhere. Publishers are treating the customers as super fans who are bottomless ATM machines.
Yep.
Like, that is what they're doing. They're taking advantage. I'm trying to not rant about $5 in blank pages again, but that's what they're doing.
Well, the idea is us, you know, 35 to 55 year old readers have more disposable income, so we're more likely to buy the stupid $500 statue than the $12 action figure. We're more likely to buy the 1-in-100 variant cover for $100 from our comic retailer. And that's Marvel's entire business model for the last few years.
But like the secondary, like when he sells that one for $100, Marvel doesn't care. Like, all they were aiming for is to sell those 100 books that they don't care what happens to them. And some guy has a long box in the back with Amazing Spider-Man number 4.
Except that Marvel makes it mandatory that you have bought a whole bunch of other things to qualify for that one for $100.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they sold it to him for $5 or whatever they sold it to him for, $3, $4, $2.50, whatever the markup is. But in order to qualify for that one book that he can turn around and sell for $100, he had to buy, you know, whatever it was, 200 copies of Champions number 6 and 600 copies of the regular issue and 900 copies of, you know, somebody's kids drawing off of his fridge at Marvel.
And so he's actually still losing selling that book for $100.
Yeah, because he's got all this dead inventory. Marvel's happy because he sold all this dead inventory.
Yeah. And I think, like, that's what's killing the comic shops. Like, that's not what's killing comics. That's what's killing the shops. And when the shops are gone, then you're left to buy off the guy on eBay. Because, you know.
Yeah, like, you and I are hardcore collectors enough that, you know, if I'm missing an issue and it's a series that I collect and I was stupid and somehow didn't pick it up at the comic shop or I forgot to order it.
Or your comic shop completely missed you for a month, and so every series you're collecting, you have an issue gap.
Yeah,
just
which happens, unfortunately. We're not going to name names. We're not going to name names, but you know, because that kind of stuff happens. But you go to eBay and you pay the stupid shipping and you pay the stupid, like, there's a variant cover. There's a okay. This is going to get really, I'm going to lose more people off my dating site.
You're going to be negative after this.
There's a cosplayer who dresses up as certain characters, and she did a variant cover of a Deja Thoris.
Okay, yep. John Carter.
Yeah, John Carter character for Dynamite.
Okay.
So it's her dressed up as this character. Mm. And I've always been a bit of a fan. I mean, you know, like, she's got a nice bum. And she shows off this nice bum on this cover.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, well, I kind of want that issue. And if I ever see her at a con, I'll get her to sign her bum. And it'll be, you know, like a really nice, awkward, nerdy moment. And it'll be fine, you know. Yep. I got this picture of this hot chick on a comic book with her bum signed. Well, nobody brought that issue in. So I'm looking on the Fleabay, and it's like, you know, oh, you can get this for $5. Cool, $5. That's not much. I'll buy it for $5. $27 shipping. Because it's in the States.
Yeah.
So now, what do I do? Do I spend the $30 to bring this thing in because of a lark? Because of a silliness? Like, if I was a rabid fan of hers, it'd be like, yeah, absolutely, bring it in.
Yeah.
But this was just kind of like a goofball-y, jokey thing to do.
Yeah.
So, I'm not buying it for $40. Or
that's
a Canadian
Comic-Con box dig for that, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like that, exactly like Chris says, and Dan said earlier, wait a year, and I'm sure you're going to be able to find it in a bin somewhere. But if I had seen it at the comic shop, I would have picked it right up.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a matter of being patient to get the books that you want without spending.
But that's a flawed system, though. It shouldn't be. You should be able to just get it.
Yeah.
You should be able to just phone up Andrew Tom and say, Andrew, give me issues 3 and 4 of the Captain Canuck series. And he'll go, okay, here's my PayPal address. And a day later, they show up at your house.
Yes, they did.
That's how it should work. And that's how it worked.
I still need those issues physically.
What, 3 and 4?
3 and 4, yeah.
I did get a couple of extra copies if you would like them.
Maybe.
They're yours. I did buy extras.
Speaking of physical comic releases, can I toot my horn for a moment here?
Absolutely. If you don't use this as your own personal platform more often, I'm going to start getting angry. Go.
Posted on Facebook and Instagram that I've got some involvement in the Captain Canuck Free Comic Book Day release this year, which is pretty cool. There's a preview of something that I'm working on that's going to be in that. I'm not at liberty to say what it is because I can still be fired from the book if I spill the beans too much. But so
non-disclosure agreement.
I'm super excited to have some work being appearing in a Captain Canuck comic, and the Free Comic Book Day thing is super cool, right? So that's really cool, and I will be at a comic store that we all know and love on Free Comic Book Day doing some signings and stuff. I won't say which one just yet because it needs to be announced through proper channels first. But
does it rhyme with Sotham General?
I'm not going to speculate on what it rhymes with.
Does it start with Ray Ardian? Does it rhyme with Ray Ardian?
It's not one in town, though. Not one in Peterborough.
That's too bad.
Is it too bad, though?
Well, no.
It's like, you know,
the Peterborough shop is great, but when you're launching a book like this, you want to get into one of the major shops and get as much exposure as possible. There's not a single person who would blame you for that decision.
And yeah, like, because even, you know, like working, doing the Canuck Adventures thing, and, you know, there's some Canuck Adventures opportunities in the works in the future. And I was like, where would this be good to launch? Peterborough, where it's my hometown and there'll be 5 people, you know, or you could, you know, go to Oshawa or
there's a reason
Toronto.
There's a reason why comic pros go to big major conventions. Like, you're trying to reach the biggest market. So there's not a single person who's going to be like, oh, what did you do? However, that doesn't mean the week after you can't have like a little informal signing at the Grey Guardian and just like, you know, hey guys, hey, I did this. This is a thing. Just saying.
Well, Greg Guardian has me on Facebook, so if they want me, they can ask.
How are you going to fit through the door with that head?
Listen. But that's the thing, though. Like, shouldn't they be doing something as well? Like, do you know what I mean? Like forget, take any ego away, because I was just joking.
Yeah, I know you were just teasing. I know, like, you were just teasing.
But, you know, I'm working with Chapter House on at least two projects. I have other stuff. Hey, guess what, guys? I got my first paycheck for writing comics yesterday.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm a semi-professional comic book writer.
No.
You got paid.
You got paid. That's professional. By a publisher. That's professional.
So
you're a pro now.
Here I am in Peterborough.
Signing up for Fan Expo.
Maybe next year. As a professional comic book writer, like, nobody cares, though. Like, the comic shop doesn't care.
That's because the comic shop in Peterborough, and again, God bless their souls, they're doing what they can. It's a small market and stuff. They're not a comic shop. They're a card shop. That's not their speciality. You know, they don't know. They're not connected with the industry. The owner, great guy. Everything's fantastic, but he wouldn't know a Captain Canuck issue from a Captain America issue. You know? Like, Gotham Central. We all love Gotham Central. We all love Carlos. He's one of those guys that owns a store, and he goes out there, and he finds opportunities, and he brings artists to sign, and he's doing all these exclusive covers with local talent and stuff like this, and he has artist days, and he's part of what you're talking about. He's pumping out. Like, I would anticipate an invitation from him before you got an invitation from you know, other stores, but that's the kind of guy he is.
And
because of it, he's got one of the biggest, most profitable stores in Ontario.
And that's exactly right. Like, you get out of it what you put into it. And by going out to do that, like, you know.
But he's also in Mississauga.
That's true. That's true. But it doesn't mean, like, if there's hometown talent.
You wouldn't be able to do that in Trenton.
No.
But, like, you know, it doesn't mean there isn't hometown talent. It doesn't mean there isn't something that they can do to make the people in this town want to come to their comic store.
Yeah.
But since we're talking about Gotham, maybe we should give a shout out for A.J. Han doing his signing for there. He's launching Vladisaurus.
Oh my God. I'm so waiting for it. I'm just so excited for this book.
When's that? He's doing a launch at Gotham. Is it this Sunday?
No, I think it's next Saturday. I think it's next week.
Next Saturday?
I think it's next week. He's going to kill us for not knowing. It's Gotham Central. Gotham Central Comics and Collectibles in Mississauga. Go to the website. You won't...
I can't wait for him to be like, I haven't even mentioned it once on Facebook, guys. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Like, it's just an amazing... I mean, he's just a hilarious creator. Nice guy. And his books are just... Talk about originality. Like, what if aliens had dinosaurs as a...
Next Saturday.
Yeah,
as a gladiator combat. You know, like, what the... He goes on a little bit of a binge there, comes up with this weird butt idea, and then all of a sudden it's a book, and you're like, I need to read this!
And it wasn't bad. It was actually awesome. It was actually a lot of fun to read.
Like Shay, like, his creative mind is like, he spins a wheel, and it lands on two things, and he goes, yep. Like, dinosaurs and aliens. I'll make that work.
He's just not a guy that's like sitting there going, that's a bit too far-fetched. He's like, no, that's not far-fetched enough. Let's do this.
Let's spin the wheel four more times to make it even more out there.
Yeah, so instead of having gladiatorial fighting dinosaurs, now he's got vampire dinosaurs. Like, come on! And we know we're dying, like, for Rambulans.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Well... Shay gets the last word, because that's all the time we've got for this week. Thanks, Chris, for coming in and filling in.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Me, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
It's weird having, like, somebody who hasn't heard all of our stories in person, so we can tell them all again. But yeah, so you can check us out on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher.
And now Spotify.
Spotify. So check out our old episodes there. And three of us will be in next week to keep this going. Check out.
Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics radio show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?